the great ministry that is the Grand Presbyterian Play School. I'd love for us to take a moment to ask all of our staff to rise as I call your name, and I'm going to ask a few more folks to stand before we applaud all of those who give and give with their hearts to this work in our community. I'd like to recognize Karen Knupp, who's the Play School Director, Stephanie Barnard, who serves as the bookkeeper. In the ones class, we have Tiffany Overman and Nicole Harkins. In the twos class, Angie Cooper and Teresa Lyon and Michelle Bailey. In the threes class, Karen doing double duty there, Karen Knupp and Teresa Lyon, as well as Ashley Vickery. Liz Varner and Sherry Whitney are the teachers in the fours. I'd like to also recognize any other play school staff, current or previous, who's here today. I invite you to stand, as well as perhaps former members of the play school committee, as well as those of you who, at one time or another in your life, were a student at the play school. Will you stand right now? All right. That's the funnest part, because y'all grown up now. All right, well, let us say a round of applause for the joy of this wonderful play school. This morning, during the time of our offering, there will be a special opportunity to give to the play school. So there will be a basket that is passed, and that will be for the play school offering, which will be followed by the plates, which are our regular offering. If you need to write a check for either of those, you can write the checks to Grand Presbyterian, and those will go where they need to go. A couple other announcements. Please come back next Sunday for Mother's Day. I recently guest preached at a church that had a typo, and they had the wrong day for Mother's Day, which I think probably is the worst typo that you could ever make in the history of bulletins. But don't forget that next Sunday is Mother's Day, and we invite you to come back and join us, as well as thinking about graduations. As I already mentioned, a graduation Sunday here at Graham is June the 3rd, but Pastor Steve needs to get information. If you have a graduate in your family, be sure you get that information to Pastor Steve and the church office by May the 20th. I do have one update to our prayer concern list that I was made aware of this morning, and it is a praise update. Gianna Grimanga, who is Jan Snell's sister's great-granddaughter, who was in ICU, is doing much better, and as I understand it, is at home. So we rejoice with Gianna's family for the healing that has taken place there. Are there other prayer concerns or prayer praises that you all would like to add this morning? All right, well, we're not seeing any. I invite us then to worship God this morning. Please join me in the call to worship that you'll find printed in the bulletin. Please stand as you're able. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Let us worship the Lord together. Let us pray. Gracious God, we gather together as your people. We gather to pray, we gather to ponder, we gather to grow in our relationship with you. So may your Spirit now come upon us, open our hearts and minds to what you would have us know. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Be seated. In the Bible, we read that our God is slow to anger and full of mercy, welcoming us when we return to God with penitent hearts. So, keeping all of this in mind, let us join together by saying a corporate prayer of confession, followed by a time of silent personal confession. Let us pray. God of all wonders, we gather in this place to praise your name and to give thanks for our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who is seated at your right hand to intercede for us. Forgive us for all of the ways that we worry and fret rather than trusting in Jesus, who lived a life among us and sympathizes with all our weaknesses and woes. Help us to trust in you and to find in you all the strength we need to face life's struggles. We pray in the name of the interceding one who cares for us. Amen. Friends, you are loved by God. You are valued by God. So let us remember who we are and whose we are. Let us live a life worthy of being Jesus' disciples, freed from the bonds of our sin. Alleluia. Amen. It is my great pleasure to invite the Graham Presbyterian Play School Choir of the 3s and 4s classes up to lead us in worship through music. Thank you. thank you all so much for singing and helping us to worship God this morning. There is a very special program planned out just for you all downstairs in our fellowship hall, and I hope I have our instructions right. Miss Julie and your teachers from play school are going to lead you all down there for your special time. And also, I want to invite, if there are any other little ones in the congregation who third grade and under would like to go downstairs, come on down and follow the group down to our fellowship hall. Hearing them sing reminded me of a Sunday, 6 years ago, when I was helping lead the choir down front, the children's church choir, and I said, I think this was my motivating statement, I said, all right, y'all, before we sing, I want you to do two things for me. I said, first, I want you to sing out. Second, I want you to smile. And one of my favorite second graders on the row, back row here, raised his hand, and I said to me, Pastor Amanda, I don't think that I can do both of those things. So I appreciate them being willing to do both of those things. And as I said, it is wonderful to be with you all. It was my great joy to serve as the associate pastor for Christian education here from 2005 to 2012. Since then, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I kind of have a side hustle of guest preaching at churches that will invite me to come. I just finished up last November serving as an interim co-pastor with my dad, who is a retired Presbyterian minister at Springwood Presbyterian Church in Whitsitt. Y'all, you know me, you know I point to things. I have no idea if Whitsitt's really that way, but I think that it is. And so it is wonderful to get to be here with many familiar faces. I'm always excited to come here and see faces that are new. So I am just really thrilled to be here with you all this morning. So as it is now time for us to turn to God's word for us, let us pray. Gracious God, give us the mind that was in Christ Jesus, willing to empty ourselves so that you may have room to dwell in us. Draw us closer into the mind of Jesus that we may understand more deeply his life and death and his love for us. We pray this through the Holy Spirit who makes your word come alive in our hearts and our minds. Amen. So our scripture reading for this morning comes to us from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. If you wish to follow along, you can find it on page 995 of your pew Bibles. There are a couple footnotes of introduction I want to provide before I read this passage. Now, the scene that this reading takes place in is what we call the Last Supper. It is Jesus' last Passover meal that he shares with his disciples. And at this meal, in the chapters previous, Jesus actually literally takes the form of a servant and washes the disciples' feet. So the passage that I'm going to read in a minute contains some of Jesus' last words to his disciples before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, before he is arrested and betrayed. So our reading today is really part of Jesus' final instructions to his disciples before his death, and therefore Jesus' instructions to you and to me as well. So let us now hear these words from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your love may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So on my desk at home, there is this little metal file card box. Do they still make file card boxes? I don't know. Anyway, probably not out of metal. This box actually belonged to my grandmother. It was where she kept her recipes. And once my mom and I scanned and retyped off her recipes, this little empty box was there. And I decided I want to keep it on my desk, and this is where I'm going to keep all of the little articles or all of the little quotes or all of the little ideas that might one day become part of a sermon. I'm letting y'all know about a preacher's secret here. But anyway, I think most preachers probably have something like that. So the contents of this box started out, I had like color-coded all the gospels, and I had done all this and organized things. And then one day, my 5-year-old son thought, wouldn't it be much more fun to dump all the contents of the box out on the floor? And I have not found time to go and reorganize it, but now when I try to find something in the box, it's a little bit of an adventure to go through the little slips of paper, the newspaper clippings, the things that I can remember saving. So this past week, as I prepared for this morning's sermon, I got out the little metal box and I started going through it, and just nothing was speaking to me. Nothing popped out at me. And the box was getting more and more empty. I'd taken everything out. And I kid you not, I reached into the box to find the last thing that was in there. And it was a little folded up piece of paper, a little article. And y'all, I tell you, I do not know who gave me this article or where it came from. I'm going to go with the Holy Spirit this morning. But that was the last thing that I pulled out. And on this little folded up piece of paper was an article that told the story of George Rents. George Rents was a Presbyterian minister who had served as a Navy chaplain during both World War I and World War II. And on March 1st, 1942, he was aboard the ship, the USS Houston. And that ship came under heavy fire, bombardment, and the ship began to go down. Chaplain Rents entered the water in a life jacket and found himself clinging to the spare main float of one of the ship's lost planes. And as he looked around, he realized that there were many, many young men, many wounded survivors in the waters all around him who did not have on life jackets. So Chaplain Rents became determined to give away both his life jacket and give away his place on the float that he had been clinging to. So he tried to leave the float. He tried several times, and all of the sailors kept bringing him back. They said he actually would kind of disappear, and they didn't know where he'd gone, and then they would bring him back because they didn't want to lose him. And each time they brought him back, they noticed he was visibly weaker. His heart, he said, was getting weaker. And ultimately, George Rents succeeded in placing his life jacket on a seriously wounded sailor who did not have a life jacket. And on that day, Chaplain George Rents courageously slipped away into the sea. He was awarded posthumously the Navy Cross, and he was the only Navy chaplain to be so honored during the Second World War. So that little clipping, the story of George Rents, is a story of love, a story of sacrifice. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, Jesus says. George Rents' story speaks of love for all of the young men all around him. They speak of his love for his country. It is a story of a selfless, sacrificial love. The story of George Rents provides one answer to this big question: who is willing to love like this? Who is willing to love with a sacrificial love, to give their life for the sake of another? Jesus says, "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." Now let's start by pondering this love that Jesus has for you. It is a fierce, a powerful, it is a sacrificial love. In the declaration of forgiveness that's often said by a pastor during worship, we say Jesus died on the cross that you might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. Jesus suffered, Jesus gave his life, so that you might have life. Jesus' love for you is rooted in glory, but it is also rooted in pain, in suffering, in sacrifice. You are loved with a selfless, sacrificial love. And perhaps the other crazy thing about this is that you and I have not done anything to earn this sacrificial love that Jesus showed us on the cross. Some 500 years ago, the German monk Martin Luther, who would change the face of the church, wrote, "God doesn't love us because of our worth. We are of worth because God loves us." Now, preacher and teacher Loyal Jones once told a joke that went something like this. A man stayed home while his wife went to church, and when she returned, he inquired about the sermon. She said it was okay. That's all right. I know people say that about sermons. She said it was okay. "Well, what did the preacher preach about?" he persisted. "I don't know," she said. "He never did say." So I don't want to fall into that trap this morning. Because here's what I'm saying to all of us. This is not a sermon I preach to you. This is a sermon I preach with you. I'm going to say this. Point one, Jesus loves you with a selfless and sacrificial love. And point two, what are you going to do about that? For when we claim Jesus' love in our own lives, things change. Priorities change. Jesus' love changes you. And Jesus' words from John's gospel that I just read, they come right up in our hearts and our minds and our being, and they say to us, "Love each other as I have loved you." Now, I'm a visual learner, so I once heard it described in this way. When we think of the shape of the cross, we think of Jesus and us. This is the up and down. And down. But the shape of the cross is complete when I reach out and love the people I find around me. Especially when I love the people who need to see what it looks like to love with a selfless and sacrificial love. I often am reminded and haunted by the saying that oftentimes crops up on Facebook. I don't use that a lot in sermons, but I will this morning. That saying is that you and I are the only Bible that a lot of people in our world read. It's our lives that people are looking at. California megachurch leader Francis Chan wrote that the God of this universe, the creator of nitrogen and pine needles, the creator of galaxies and the key of E minor, loves you with a radical, unconditional, self-sacrificing love. And what is our typical response? We go to church, we sing songs, we try not to cuss. Y'all, I kid you not, since I don't wear a collar all the time, sometimes people who meet me don't know that I am a Presbyterian minister. And I will tell you, one of our jokes in Presbyterian minister circles are that when you meet people and they find out you're a minister, they usually do two things. One, they stop telling stories about going to parties. And second off, they try to clean up their language when they're around you. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things. I will not stand up here and say that. But I think our reading today from John tells us that maybe we are claimed for something even more. Jesus asks us to dive deeper into our own hearts and our minds and our souls to figure out how to love more like Jesus in our own lives. Now, you and I are not always in our lives going to be asked to love with the sacrificial love of Chaplain George Rents that fatal day in the waters around the USS Houston. But there are ways that we can live out the command to love Jesus and love each other. Who do I need to love with the sacrificial love? We need to ask ourselves that question. What risks can I take? What sacrifices can I make to love others the way that Jesus loves me? A few months ago, I was driving in my car and I was listening to a podcast. That's something else I would probably, 5 years ago, y'all would never have heard me say anything about a podcast. But I was listening to a podcast and there was a renowned Georgetown psychologist. And years before in her life, she had been in a very scary traffic situation. She had her car stall out on the fast lane on a freeway, and a stranger showed up out of nowhere, helped her get to safety, did all of this at great risk of himself. So now she's grown up, and she's this psychologist who is scientifically trying to answer the question, why would someone risk their life for another person? Why would someone engage in what she defines as a voluntary, costly behavior motivated by the desire to help another individual? Now, sociologists and psychologists, they study stories. I heard that day about a man in India who wanted to help end leprosy and was willing to have himself injected with the disease to see if they could find a cure. I heard a story about a couple who has repeatedly adopted multiple children with severe special needs. And all of these social scientists are doing all of this important research to try and figure out why someone would risk their own safety, their own well-being, their own life for the sake of other people. And as I sat in my car that day listening, the answer that I just wanted to shout out into my car was, well, maybe they're doing it because this behavior is loving like Jesus loves us. Loving like Jesus loves. Loving with a sacrificial love, it takes different forms in each of our lives. So what risks am I willing to take? What ridicule am I willing to endure? What cost am I willing to bear for loving others like Jesus loves me? A few weeks ago, I heard a national news story, but that was fun because it was just from down, let's see, if Whitsitt's this way, it was from Wrightsville Beach, so Wrightsville Beach must be this way. It was a story that came out of Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina. And it went a little bit like this. Apparently, there was a woman who was visiting from out of state, and she had gone to visit with some friends in Wrightsville Beach, and they had gone to a local watering hole there that's owned by a man named Jimmy Galise. Now, somehow that evening, the woman lost her wallet. But the woman's $10,000 wedding ring was inside the wallet. Now, the woman had to fly home the next day, and so she had kind of given up hope that this was ever going to get solved. And so Jimmy Galise, she went to him and pleaded her situation, and he decided to take time, to give of his time, to go over all of the security video and security camera footage that he had of the night that she had lost her wallet with her wedding ring inside. And after all that time, all the effort that he had given, sure enough, he could see the moment where the woman was sitting on a bench outside this place, and she had gotten up, and he could see her wallet was there on the bench where she'd gotten up. And as Jimmy continued to watch the footage, a few minutes later, a somewhat disheveled teenager walks up to the bench, and in the next frame, the wallet isn't there anymore. So Jimmy then goes forward and he puts this video on Facebook because they're hoping they're going to catch this guy who did this horrible thing. And strangely enough, the young man in question comes forward. Here's someone else who did something courageous. And it turns out that he was 19 years old. He was actually sleeping in the woods nearby. He was homeless at the time. And at the night in question, he was hungry. And when he saw the wallet, he took the cash in it, and he went and bought himself a sandwich. And when he was doing so, the teenager says he looked in and he saw the wedding ring. And he knew that he would be in big trouble if he got caught with it. So, as 19-year-olds might do, he decided he was going to go and chuck that wallet off one of the public docks in Wrightsville Beach and chuck it into the water. So that was his story. So should Jimmy believe it? Should any of us believe it? Because the kid should have gone off to jail. The woman should have had her faith in humanity destroyed. And Jimmy should have probably maybe not wasted a whole lot of his time. But the story doesn't end there. So Jimmy Galise then decides he's going to up the ante here. He goes and spends his own money to hire a dive team because that teenager shows him. He says, I can show you exactly where I threw that wallet. So he shows the dive team, and in 5 minutes, they come up with the woman's wallet with the wedding ring still inside. So the woman, out of state, decides she's going to drop all of the charges against the teenager. And Jimmy Galise even decides to open his home to this young man. He gives him a job while the young man gets back on his feet. Wow. Would you or I do the same? Ministry guru Carolyn C. Brown once shared a thought that I think might help us on our journey to love more like Jesus. And she says, watch for people that no one is paying attention to. Watch for people who are lonely and hurting. Watch for people everyone else makes fun of. And then find ways to reach out to those people, even if it costs you. Even if your friends might laugh at you. Even if you are not sure that you're going to make a difference. It is hard work. Sometimes it takes real courage. Sometimes you get hurt. Just ask Jesus. End quote. Friends, empowered by the Holy Spirit, from this day may we go out to strive to love each other as Jesus loved us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now take time to go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we thank you for this chance to gather as your people, to sing your praises, to bring you our confessions, to listen to your word, to listen to your word even when it is disturbing to us. This morning we lift up your commandment that we love one another as you love us. Help us to care for each other with a spirit of sacrificial love. Help us to bear crosses for one another that we might grow closer to you. This morning we remember all those people who need to be reminded of your love and care. We pray for the sick. We pray for the infirm. We pray for people who just feel forgotten. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of someone they love, the loss of their dreams, the loss of their hope. In your mercy, sustain and guide them. This morning, we pray for those who have been affected and might be affected by the volcanic activity and the earthquakes in Hawaii. Lord, these days of spring, we look around at this amazing creation that you have created and given to us. Help us to treat it as such a gift. Lord, this morning, with thanksgiving, we pray for the healing that Gianna, who is on our prayer list, has experienced. We are so grateful to you that she is doing better. We also say a prayer of thanksgiving for those families who are celebrating graduations this time of year, special times spent together. Lord, we pray for all those who live and work in the midst of war and conflict. Keep them safe, and in these days, Lord, we pray that you might guide all your people in the ways of peace. We lift up all of these prayers, those that I have said out loud, but also the silent prayers that are on our hearts. We lift them to your holy name as we say together the prayer that Christ taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In response to God's work in our lives, let us bring forth our tithes and our offering. Please note the offering for the play school will be in the baskets, and our regular offering will be in the plates. Let us pray. Gracious God, we offer a bit of ourselves to you in this offering. We ask that you might use this to extend your love all over this world. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 466. Pop quiz. We were the 2 points. Jesus loves you with a selfless, sacrificial love. And then we should go out and try to figure out what it means for us to love each other with a sacrificial and giving love. I didn't say it was easy, but it's what Jesus has asked us to do. So as you go forth from this place, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day and forevermore. Alleluia. Amen.